Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and public radio listeners, and welcome to 89.1 WBOI's Issues and Ales. I'm Peter Domanowski, the station's general manager, and along with some good conversation tonight, we're here to dispel the rumor that none of us can actually talk except during the fun drive. Seriously, we're very happy to have you here. One of the things we enjoy most is when we have the opportunity to get out into the community, meet you and see some of our wonderful listeners, and of course, talk about the issues affecting our community in an in-depth fashion, which is what we try to do every day on the air, and it's great when we can do it in person. I hope you enjoy our time here with our friends at the Phoenix. We're very grateful that they allowed us to use their venue this evening, so enjoy what they have to offer, please. As you probably know, we'll be talking a bit about the arts community in Fort Wayne in part two of Issues and Ales. But to get things started, of course, it's county government. And to kick us off tonight is our moderator, WBOI's own Virginia Elvino. Take it away, Virginia.
Thank you. Welcome. Thank you so much for coming out to WBOI's Issues and Ales. We're really, really excited about this event and, of course, to see all of you here in person. I'm your host, Virginia Elvino, and again, during tonight's event, we'll be covering two topics over the course of these 2 hours, so do stay with us in the next hour for that arts talk. It's going to be really great. But again, before we get going, thank you so, so much to the Phoenix, and as you can tell, this is a little bit more casual of an event, so feel free to get some food and get comfortable and grab a drink. And because this is a conversation driven by our curiosity as well as yours, we do want to hear your questions that you have for the panelists. So you'll see that there should be some papers on your tables, and if you don't have one, just get a hold of one of the staff. And as they come to mind, just fill out those questions, and Peggy or Leah or someone will be around to collect those throughout the evening, and we will present them to our panelists. So Election Day is less than a week away now, and one of the biggest local issues that's going to be on the ballot for Allen County voters is a yes or no question. Should the county switch from three elected commissioners to a single county executive? We've never done an election item on Issues and Ales, so we're very excited to have our panelists with us. First is Andy Downs from the nonpartisan Mike Downs Center for Indiana Politics. Thanks for being with us, Andy.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. And we did have a last-minute change. Matt Bell could not be with us, so in his place, we're happy to welcome Vince Buchanan, who is of the regional chamber and an advocate for Advance Allen, which is the Yes campaign.
Matt found out that it was not a TV event. He thought my face was better for radio, so that's why I'm here.
For most of the listeners, that will be advantageous for us. Also, thanks to Roger Hadley. He is president of the Allen County Farm Bureau and an advocate for No to One, which is the No campaign on the ballot issue. Thank you, Roger. And a quick note to all these politicos out here. This is not an official debate. It's just a forum for us to get to know the issues a little bit better and pose any questions that we might have to people that'll probably know the answers. So with that being said, let's get started. I'd like to ask each of you, why does county government matter, especially as we're seeing an urbanization of populations across the country? What services does county government offer that's unique? Let's start with Roger.
County government is important to us because in the farming community, we are raising livestock, we've got crops, and we're concerned with the urban sprawl, with what's happening. They're trying to put regulations on us from the urban side of what we can do and can't do out in the farming community. Allen County is the largest county in the state, and we're the second or third largest farming community. So we're very concerned about what happens with our cropping practices and our livelihoods out there. We supply the food that you're eating tonight.
Well, government's important. There are services. Matt, Vince, I'll answer to anything. That's fine.
I mean,
government's essential to make sure that we have infrastructure in place, that we have law and order services that help not only citizens but businesses. And I'm not sure that we differ on the fact that mm-hmm. the citizens need a voice and that services need to be provided. And beyond that.
Can either or both of you give maybe a specific tangible example of a service that's provided by county government as opposed to any other body?
Well, I mean, they take care of the roads in the county, as an example. It's not a city issue. City takes care of theirs. County takes care of theirs.
Police service, snowplow. You know, wintertime, we've got to get out. We've got to feed our livestock.
Thank you. Yeah. So, Andy, a question for you. This is a relatively unique opportunity for Allen County voters to decide directly how they want their government structure to look. How did this proposal come about, and what is it asking exactly?
What people have to remember is that Indiana does not have a lot of home rule for local government, so we're kind of limited in what we can do. In other words, the state government says there have to be counties. The state government says there have to be townships. The state government says if you want to be a city, here's how many council members you're going to have, that sort of stuff. So we don't really have a lot of flexibility. Whenever you see any community in modern times, so in the last 20, 30 years, looking at changing its government, what it's doing is taking advantage of something the state has said, go ahead and do. In this particular case, this is actually a referendum specific to technically counties with 300,000 to 400,000 people, which happens to be only Allen County in all of Indiana. The legislature said, you are allowed to try this one time. And if it does not happen, there's no guarantee it would come back. The legislature would actually have to allow for it to happen again.
So, Roger and Vince, you've taken opposing sides on this single county issue. Can you let us know, maybe it would help us understand a little bit more, why you personally took the stance that you did? Let's start with Roger.
Farm Bureau and our farming community, the grassroots community, has always been against the restructuring ever since the Kernan Shepherd, where they wanted to get rid of our county government, county trustees, and the county entities as we know them today. That works for us. We would rather work with people that's living in our community, not have to go clear into Fort Wayne to do that. And so we have been opposed to that. The Farm Bureau is made up of grassroots farmers, and across the whole state, we have been opposed to that.
And Vince, you're pro-change. How about you?
Well, the organization that I'm the executive director of, the Regional Chamber, is a business advocacy organization, and our charge is to assist with regard to economic development and opportunities in the 10 northeast counties of Indiana. And so this has been a policy agenda item for the Regional Chamber since it came into existence about 4 years ago, 4.5 years ago. And because we're about economic development and opportunity to move northeast Indiana forward specifically in a very challenging, not only local environment, statewide environment, but worldwide environment, we believe that the opportunities presented by to allow the citizens the opportunity to determine if they feel strongly that changing the form of county government would be effective in helping keep us more competitive in an economic sense globally, locally, and statewide.
So how do you think the actual delivery of the services that we went over that county government provides would change? Would they change significantly if this were to pass, this proposal?
Well, I don't know that they would change significantly with regard to the services that we talked about. Again, going back to economic development, we believe that there would be more transparency with regard to the decisions that are made at the countywide level. Also, there would be better accountability because we would have a leader in a single county exec versus a three commissioner setup, which can provide the opportunity for cover or non-decision making in critical times and accountability as well.
Let's talk about the representation issue a little bit, right, Roger? Oh, if you'd like to make a point.
Yeah, I'd like to rebuttal that.
Sure.
We believe we'll have less transparency. Right now you've got three commissioners. They have a meeting once a week. We know what's on the agenda. That is listed. Where's this meeting going to happen? If you've got one person in charge, it's going to happen behind closed doors someplace. So all that's the transparency is going to disappear on that because, you know, you won't have that weekly meeting to know what's on the agenda, what the... Today it's the commissioners discussing. Down the road, it would be the single executive meeting one-on-one with whomever it might be.
Well, I would just suggest that the single county executive is still going to be held accountable by the county council that's in place. Mm-hmm. They will be in charge of the purse strings, per se. They'll be giving the guidance and the direction that the single county executive would be responsible to go out and execute. And so if, in fact, you weren't happy with the decisions that were being made, you'd only need to place one vote to change that leadership versus in the current environment that we have. You've got three commissioners. You don't have the opportunity, if you don't like the direction, to make a change in a four-year span of time.
I would like to move on to the representation, if you don't mind. Eliminating the two executive positions would just essentially put more power in the hands of fewer folks. Can you speak a little bit about representation and why that might be a priority for you?
We feel that's an unneeded change. Right now, you've got three heads talking. You've got three people deciding something. How often have you made a decision and you start saying, somebody asks you afterwards, did you think about this? Did you think about that? Well, no, you've made a decision so quick, maybe, without discussing. So we think that is a problem, the three heads talking first before it goes to the next step to the council. They get to air out some of the issues, they get to talk about it, and you've got the public there to listen to it. So we just feel that's just too much power in one person's hand not to have that.
But, Roger, do you get worried that having three people actually slows down decision-making in a way that could be unproductive?
I think in government, it's good to slow things down so you make the right decisions. I think it was intended that way, to make sure you have the time to look at everything. I mean, before I go out and buy a new combine or a tractor, I better talk to the wife. We better discuss, okay, is there going to be money there? Is there not going to be money there? You know, we've got this issue, that coming up, this expense coming up. The same thing kind of happens here.
Well, Charlie, you're back in the back. I had to get you in
one way or another.
I'm sure your wife gives you lunch money, and you're able to do with it what you want.
If I'm good.
Exactly. And so point is the budget's put together by the council, and they give parameters for the executive to work in. And I think you're painting a picture that suggests that the single county executive is going to be working in a vacuum. And I just don't happen to believe that that would be the case. I believe they would understand that they're responsible for the decisions that are made, and they'd be held accountable.
Well, then, of course, I have to ask you the follow-up question, Vince. Can you name times when having three commissioners has slowed things down so significantly that there was a great negative impact because of it?
Well, I can tell you that firsthand I've had experiences shared with business leaders that believe in this region and have invested in the region, that thankfully made decisions to locate significant economic development programs in Northeast Indiana when they were giving strong consideration to Allen County. And the most recent example is Fort Wayne Metals, an expansion that they did in Whitley County. And again, thankfully, we believe in the regional approach to economic development, so what's good for Whitley is good for Allen. But that's a perfect illustration of challenges that they met with regard to dealing with the commissioners, not personally, but in that governmental environment, where we lost the tax base that came along with that, some of the employees that came along with that. And that's an example of something that we're aware of. And I can speak with great confidence that there are a number of times where we have lost potential businesses from outside of the region that we didn't even hear about.
I mean, a similar question to you, Roger. Can you name something that you might encounter a project, per se, something that would be maybe compromised if this proposal were to be approved?
Really don't know of a project that might be compromised, but I know we've had problems when the soybean facility that's at Dreyfus tried to, you know, come to Allen County. The problem, the reason they didn't come here wasn't because they couldn't work with the city council. The problem was pollution issues. So there were some other regulations, and I was told the same thing happened with SDI. There was other regulations that was stiffer in Allen County that weren't in other counties, the reason some of these places didn't end up in Allen County. They liked the infrastructure, they wanted to be close to Allen County, but didn't have to be in Allen County.
Andy, all that being said, I would like to know, is there any clear data that expresses one way or the other which governance structure is more effective?
You know, in the end, there really isn't. You can find examples where restructuring, whether it's something, and I have to say this is a fairly narrow definition of restructuring. Usually we're talking about something far greater, things that, for example, Roger referenced in the Kernan Shepherd report that would have done away with complete parts of government, you know, townships gone, consolidations of cities and counties. When we look at the literature on that sort of restructuring, it's actually kind of hit or miss. In some instances, it's worked out better. In other instances, it's not worked out better. What really ends up mattering are the people who are in those offices who are serving, and are they responsive to what it is the county's asking or the constituents are asking them to do. That's really what it comes down to, whether it's a three-person commission or whether it's an individual single county executive. It's got to be about them being responsive to what the constituents are asking for.
Well, if so much is contingent on the personal element, who this person, who this executive may be, do you have any fears, Vince, that might get you in some hot water if there's any sort of personal conflict and yet there's only one representative?
Personal conflict, I'm not sure.
Or if we end up inadvertently, because we wouldn't do it intentionally, electing a single county executive who's not good.
Yeah. Well, the good news about that is we're only as good as those that we elect, whether we make this change or not. The good news is if by chance the wrong person is elected, in 4 years we can place a vote and have them gone.
But 4 years is a long time with county commissioners. Every time the election cycle comes up, you've got either one or two on the ballot.
That's correct, Roger. So, having said that, when you've got a group of three that can place cover for one another in environments and you need to make a change, it's going to take a lot longer than 4 years to make a change when you can't identify of the three who's creating the obstacles.
But if you've got one that's maybe the problem, the other two can cover for that, and it's not anywhere near as noticeable. You may not have the cooperation of all three, but two of the three is all it takes to make the decisions. So you're moving along, in my opinion, a little bit smoother path.
I like that you both have used the word cover here. Roger saying, hey, look, we have two who can cover for one weak one, and Vince saying, yeah, but one can then use the others as cover for doing or not doing something. That's an interesting concept here. We're really talking about differences of philosophy, aren't we? When it comes right down to it, what you're looking for out of government. In fact, the County Executive Association, and yes, there really is something called the County Executive Association, says that this trend or this question is really one of, do you want something that has more centralized power or something that has more dispersed power, less centralized power? Is it fair to say that that's kind of what the debate is here?
I guess I would frame it a little differently, Andy, although I wouldn't dispute that. I think that in the day and age in which we live and the competitiveness that we have with regard to the global economy, business moves quicker. I can tell you that I have three daughters. My hope and desire is that they want to continue to live in Northeast Indiana, and I think part of that's predicated on opportunities with regard to good jobs, with regard to opportunity for advancement and amenities. And I happen to believe that if we can create a much more vibrant economic development environment here, I said that twice, but if we can positively impact that, we have the opportunity to excel and lead. We can continue to retain current talent, attract talent, and separate ourselves from the rest. And change is often difficult, whether it's good or bad. I happen to believe that it's good to have what I look at as a more streamlined opportunity to have decisions made, with a counterbalance of a county council that sets up the economic parameters with regard to where they want to see the funding go and expenditures for the county.
One more thing.
Roger jump in here. What would you say is sort of, if you had to break this question down? I said it's a question of centralized versus decentralized authority or decision making. How would you describe it?
For me, that's a tough question. I'm not a government type or political type person per se, but as I look at this, the system we have today, the way it works, has not deterred growth in Allen County. Allen County has done well. Steve Schein made that comment. He says, I can't envision it being much better. He says, yes, we lose some. You're always going to lose some. You're not going to get every business that comes here. And most of them don't come here and make a snap decision. Most of them are on the agenda. Anything we do, we look ahead. We don't come in and say we need a decision today. We need a decision 24 hours. If they're trying to make a decision and trying to move something that fast, it makes me a little bit nervous. You know, to plan something, you're going to work at a longer time period. So the system we have today is not broken. You know, the system is working well. It works for all 92 counties in the state. Every county has three commissioners. Now, Marion County has a different system. They've got more of a Unigov, but they've still got three commissioners.
Yeah, and
commissioners
we're not here,
in different counties have different roles.
We're not here talking Unigov. That would start some sort of a riot, I'm pretty sure.
Thank you. I understand.
Yeah. Everybody's happy we're not doing that.
And I didn't say this was Unigov.
That's right. You didn't.
Just to interrupt really briefly, yeah. We'll be getting to your questions in just about 5 minutes. So if you've got something on your mind, be sure to fill those out. And we've got folks coming around to collect those. And if you are tweeting, again, the handle is at WBOI, hashtag WBOI Ailes. We're looking forward to hearing your comments and engaging with the issue in that way as well. Something that was interesting to me, Vince, is that this notion is untested. This proposal is untested in this county. We may have seen it play out in other places, but what makes you confident that this change... Go ahead.
Actually, I want to jump in here and quickly point out to people, if you look at county governments across the entire United States, the commissioner structure is still the one you find most commonly, but there is a trend moving away from that. Mm-hmm. In fact, there are a couple of states that have mandated that all of their counties shift to a different structure. In the case of Tennessee, I think it is, off the top of my head, they're mandated to go to a single county executive. So there is a trend moving in that direction, but right now what we have is still the most common form of government. So I just wanted to throw that in before we
got the response. And the places that have changed, how long ago would you say, how long have they had to be tested in that region?
Well, it's a more recent thing that's happening. We're talking the last 10, 20 years that the trend has really started to move in that particular direction.
Mm-hmm. So to get back to that, Vince, you had some very big ideas about economic development, but what makes you confident that this principle, again, that is untested here and largely nationwide, would have the impact that you're looking for?
I think one of the things that's most exciting from my perspective is having a single voice that can go out and paint a vision for what our county is aspiring to be and how we're going to get there, creating a culture within county government that provides a service mentality to the customers or the client, which are the taxpayers and those that are looking at our community to perhaps bring a business or expand an existing business. And those two things in and of themselves, I believe, just can create a tremendous opportunity for us. Currently, we have three voices, if you will. They don't always sing off the same music sheet. And, you know, to Roger's point, maybe that's a good thing. I happen to believe otherwise.
Well, to me, if they sang off the same music sheet all the time, I'd be a little concerned. If all three come to the table and they're always in agreement and not discussing and not bringing out what if this, what if that, being the devil's advocate, you know, whatever, however you want to look at that, I'm a little concerned when three people working together like that are in unison step all the time. You go to our neighboring county in Whitley County, they get along well, but they aren't in unison all the time. You know, they discuss stuff and they get done at the end of the day. You know, they agree or agree to disagree, and, you know, they've done well. And I'm not saying that ours don't do the same thing.
Just to switch gears a little bit, Andy, from where you're sitting, maybe not at this table, but in the community at large.
Very near you right now is where I'm sitting.
Can you see a partisan divide on this particular issue?
You know, that's an interesting question. A lot of people have thought that there is sort of this obvious Republican-Democratic divide, and they've thought that in part because there's a lot of support for it in the outlying areas, which are traditionally Republican strongholds. But this is not something that breaks down along normal Republican-Democratic lines. In fact, it is really... when we've had other discussions about restructuring more broadly than this one, there have been some strong Democratic places that have said, no, we don't want that. Others that have said yes, and same with the Republicans. In fact, I think it'd be kind of interesting. I know you two are not asking people, hey, are you a D or an R when you're finding your support out there, but are you? Has politics made strange bedfellows here? I mean, occasionally are you seeing... a Republican and a Democrat standing together saying, you know what, this is right or this is wrong, and making you think, well, maybe there is a little more to life than just Republican and Democratic politics.
I know in the Woodburn community area and all the outlying communities we've been to, nobody's asking if they're Republican or Democrat, and I know several of them that are either R's or D's, and they're standing side by side together. They're totally against it. They do not want it. I know the Woodburn mayor, I know the New Haven mayor is against it. They're both opposite politics, And as we get in the communities, we're seeing the same thing, that it doesn't matter. There's some folks pointing a finger. It's all Republicans that's after this. Others are saying the Democrats behind it, because, you know, some of the folks in leadership there have wanted it for a long time, and I've never tried to break it down which it was.
Mm-hmm. Vince, have you noticed?
Pretty much similar experience. Not an RRD issue, but more of a philosophical conversation around what would put us in a position to move forward. So similar experience.
You haven't had any sort of surprising financial contributions from any individuals or organizations in that light that maybe you didn't know would be in your camp at this point?
I wouldn't say we've had anything that's surprised us in that regard at all.
No.
What about you?
Our contributions have come from a real diverse group of people. I mean, we've got, I forget what the average number is, but the average number, I think, was somewhere around $1,000 per contributor. And I think if you look at the other side, it's four people's given about all the money. So that makes me nervous when I look at the two campaign reports that was turned in on the 18th. You've got a lot of money one side that's four big contributors, and you've got a whole diverse group on the other side. So ours is more grassroots that's put the money in.
And I would just suggest that our contribution has come from our membership. Our membership is pro-business. Business appreciates and needs communities that are vibrant, that provide the type of services and infrastructure that citizens and businesses need. So my take on that is we've had some very forward-thinking business people that have been willing to give the citizens of Allen County the opportunity to position themselves looking forward to be much more effective, much more efficient, and have much more accountability as that takes place.
And you both have raised a fair amount of money here. This is not like you're running on a shoestring here. I know both of you probably would have wanted more in terms of resources, but you know, you've both cleared the 100,000 mark very easily. There's still a little time left. Not that I'm plugging that anyone should be giving you more money, but to be able to say that you averaged $1,000 a contribution approximately, that's pretty good. To have some people who are willing to write big checks, that's pretty good. So there is some broad-based community interest in this particular issue.
And we've had numerous businesses that have given us money. Just we didn't get anything the size that what Vince was lucky enough to get.
I don't know. That Farm Bureau was pretty nice to you guys.
On that note, let's get to our viewers' questions that we've got in front of us right now.
Yes,
so let's get a little bit of just into the nitty-gritty logistically about how county government works. Someone would like to know, when current county commission meets, how are decisions made? Do they state a subject for discussion, accept or solicit outsider opinion, discuss pros and cons, etc.? Can either of you speak to that, how that works?
Actually, I'll take that one.
That
sounds very process-oriented.
Absolutely.
That sounds boring,
Andy.
So it's mine.
You're off the hook, boys.
There are, the county commissioners meet, when they meet, there's an agenda that's actually published in advance, and depending on what the subject is, there may actually be a public hearing on it where people are allowed to offer comments. You're always allowed and encouraged, in fact, to send comments in advance of meetings. They take that stuff into consideration, but for a lot of things, it's like a lot of government meetings you'd watch. Somebody would say, up next is item such and such. There'd be a little discussion on it. Somebody would say, I move we approve or not, and then there'd be a vote, and the next thing you know, you're on to the next agenda item.
Very good. Hopefully that clarifies some things. And we'll try and get through as many of these as we can, and a lot of them largely hit on some points that we've already been on. So this, harking back to what we were talking about, voter turnout is already low. Perhaps that can be largely attributed to voter fatigue, is what this question asks. Can you explain why this issue even merits a vote? Maybe the biggest question.
Go right ahead.
Maybe we should
start over. from my perspective, it's very sad and unfortunate that we're in a day and age where the voter turnout is at it, as it has been here of late and as it's being projected for this upcoming election. That being said, I'm going to continue to go back to jobs and opportunities, and I believe that it's important for the citizens to be informed first, and so I give everyone here credit for taking time out of your schedule to have dialogue around this issue. And I hope that each and every one of you make a commitment to go out and if you haven't already, vote, because that's the most important thing. Having said that, from a local perspective, I believe this is the issue that can have the biggest impact in the long term for Allen County. And again, I happen to believe that in supporting this initiative and giving us some of the things that we've already discussed that would come about by having that in place, although we have been rather fortunate with regard to some of the economic activity, I think that we'll see that at an accelerated pace. And without that, if we're not competing, and it is about competition nowadays, we will have less and less opportunity to be economically viable and keep our local folks here employed and our tax base go up and services increase, infrastructure increase, things of that nature.
And Roger, why should people get out and take the time to vote on this?
First of all, that's our civic duty to vote. People like to sit around and complain about what's happening in government, what's not happening in government, what different leaders are doing, and if they don't go vote, they really don't have a voice in that. I mean, that's how we decide what's happening. That's how we take a personal part in it, is to go out and vote. So we definitely need to go out and vote. I agree with Vince on that wholeheartedly. I mean, I'm saddened that people don't think, well, this, I can't, one vote won't make a difference. My opinion doesn't care. Doesn't matter. That's crazy. Everyone needs to vote. And on this issue, definitely, I do not see that it will help economic development any better than what we are now by going to one from three. So I think we're just as well off where we are, and we're not going to go backwards. I mean, look at GM. They continue to want to expand in Allen County. There's evidently not problems with them. We've got three or four new businesses going in Industrial Park in Woodburn right now. We've got the largest cold meat storage facility in the country being built outside my window. I don't like the view of it. It's going to be less than a half a mile away across the fields, but economic development is happening in Allen County. That is in Allen County.
Here's another question that Andy might be wanting to chime in on. It's from Celia Garza of Save Mommy. Would one person be capable of fulfilling all the roles that our current commissioners fill, things like the draining board, zoning appeals, things of that nature?
I think this would actually end up being kind of evolutionary. Initially, there would be an awful lot of responsibility there, and I'm sure over time, the same way mayors are able to designate people to go to certain types of board meetings and commissions, my guess is that the single county executive would slowly evolve and be doing the same sort of thing. In the end, the question would be, is that single county executive getting done the things voters, and for that matter, people who live here who can't vote or don't vote, is that single county executive getting done the things that need to get done? It may seem like it will be a huge task, and it certainly will be a huge task, but let's remember that we're talking about a limited part of the overall government. They're not responsible for being sheriff. They're not responsible for being the recorder. They're not responsible for auditing or the auditor position, treasurer, clerk of the courts. So it's a big job. There's no doubt about that, but it's also what the person makes it to be, and it will evolve over time.
Very good. This is from a voter who may still be on the fence on the issue. They ask if I prefer less dollars to be spent in government, which way should they vote?
Well, I can only say that we've never made this about a savings opportunity. And until that would actually be determined with regard to what funds are allocated, the new county council would be responsible for determining what the budget is. I can't say, unfortunately, I can't stand up and say, it's gonna save you money if we go this direction. Can't tell you it won't, can't tell you it will.
In our opinion, as we look at this, I mean, you just hit on it, the mayor has a deputy mayor. Chris Clouds made the comment, who's the guy that schedules all the activities for the three county commissioners. He's made the comment, there's no way one person can do this whole agenda that the three county commissioners are doing. So we envision there'll be executive and probably a deputy executive. So time you add those salaries together, and then there's going to be more responsibilities for the county council, and there's going to be 9 of them, so there's an additional cost in county councilmen. Presently, they meet once a month. Are they going to have to meet 2 times a month, 3 times a month, 4 times a month, like the city council does? There's debate on that. I know as I talk to different county councilmen, Roy's given me his opinion on it. I can see their salary having to go up quite a bit. I don't know how much.
It's all guesstimate, correct?
It's all a guesstimate.
Okay, thank you.
So, but that's what they ask, what our opinion is.
No, absolutely. Yeah.
I think you'll see a 33% increase in the cost. I may be wrong, but I definitely see an increase in cost.
Now, I should point out that when restructurings have taken place around the country, when people promise savings, they have rarely materialized. In fact, in some instances, it has cost more money. The question is that money being spent on things the public wants? And so depending on which case you go look at, there are examples where the case says, no, they didn't spend money on stuff we wanted. And as has been pointed out, those folks usually got unelected a couple of years later. But when constituents see the money being spent in a way that they approve of, they're actually, believe it or not, this will sound a little shocking, quite often willing to have a little more money spent. But both are right. No one has made cost a central issue here, right? Because we don't know what will end up happening. It's really about which way will constituents get the services that they want and deserve.
That's part of our statement, too many questions, it's unanswered. Because we think people deserve to know that before they vote. And that's an unanswered question.
Let me ask you about that, Roger. There will always be uncertainty, though. There's no decision that's made, even things like rezoning a piece of land, something that we do on a pretty regular basis, both out in the unincorporated areas and in the city. There will always be uncertainty. How much certainty is necessary, or what's the data that would make you say, okay, that's enough to make me say this is a good idea? And not necessarily this specifically, but when does uncertainty sort of go away as the problem?
I guess what I've heard as we've had tool shed meetings is they would like to see the structure set out exactly what's going to happen. I say exactly. To get maybe a good roadmap of what's going to happen. All we have here is basically a framework. And I know Nelson made the comment, well, we'll put the pieces together in the next 4 years. Well, that scares people. The first thing in the tool shed meetings, people said, wow, this reminds me of our healthcare system. They said, pass it and we'll find out what's in it. So that's what I'm hearing the most from out in the countryside is we're passing a blank check. We're asking everybody to hand over a blank check, and we'll find out later what all's in that, what that check's going to be written for. And that's what's got a lot of citizens concerned, at least the folks that have come out to our meetings.
So do you think if it were possible, and we should point out the council that would and commissioners who would approve these things, whether it's a budget or what maps would look like, et cetera, that council has not yet been elected. So even
Correct.
If something were passed today, it could get changed by the next council.
Correct.
If something were to change, in other words, if people were able to see a map, if people were able to see a proposed budget for the new structure, does that remove enough uncertainty? Or do we get back to the core philosophical question of we just don't like putting that much power in anyone's hands?
I think that would help get rid of the uncertainty. People would that would ease them at least on that issue. Mm-hmm. They're going to have other issues, don't get me wrong. I mean, it's not going to be one thing that's going to solve that. But that has been a huge thing that we've been hit with. Every meeting we've been to, folks have got real concerned about that.
Plugging along. So again, a point that we've been working on a little bit, what is it specifically about a single executive that would spur economic development?
Well, again, from my perspective,
sure. talking
about painting a vision, creating mm-hmm. a culture that is responsive to the constituents and to prospective businesses that are coming in, and being able to make decisions in a timely fashion that will allow the county government to move at the speed of business.
So is it time or is it vision? Because if the county were to elect commissioners that shared in their vision maybe for economic development, they could count on them to deliver it in the services and the development that they go on to do. So is it really more an issue of efficiency? You want speed of do you think efficiency would create more economic development, or is it more of the vision part?
I would suggest that it's both. Quite honestly, speed is important. There are times when decisions can't be made because commissioners are not available currently. They're limited by design with regard to when they can communicate and when they can't. And you could touch on that, Andy, specifically.
Are we aware of any time the ball has been dropped, so to speak, by a commissioner not being available or being not able to get them together quickly enough?
Unfortunately, the answer to that is yes. but even more unfortunate is the fact I can't tell you what it is because I came in on short notice and I don't have that in front of me. So
okay.
That's a non-event. Yeah.
But, Vince, don't we run the possibility that since legislative functions will disappear from the commissioners and be handed over to the county council, there's still a body that has to meet, whether it's to rezone a piece of land or to approve a tax abatement. So some of those problems continue to exist. They've simply been shifted to a different body, haven't they?
And I would agree with that. Having said that, when the council comes together, and let's assume it's the 9, which is what we're working for, they're going to have the issue brought before them, and you will know who votes yes and who votes no, and be able to move it forward so you can work within that time frame. If the commissioners had not had the opportunity to get together this month or if this meeting schedule and had to postpone it because of them not being able to have the connectivity or the quorum available, suggesting they needed more information or whatnot, there's still the opportunity for delay, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you said it would move at the speed of business, I had to chuckle a little bit to myself. I'm not sure any government can move as fast as...
Right.
I mean, let's face it. We don't want them moving too quickly.
And thank you. Well stated. Yes, having said that, I think we can be a little more efficient and effective.
And that's the reason I make my statement that the county council is going to have to meet more than once a month because they're going to get more responsibilities, and this speed that Vince keeps talking about is not going to happen. The executive can make it. But if they're only meeting once a month on the county council, they're going to have to meet weekly in order to make, you know, to execute what's coming through with the council.
So again, going back to that then, so the 9 council members, they'll be able to influence whether they want to go through with regard to what the single county exec is proposing, so they don't have ultimate power and all that.
Possibly, yes. I'm not, you know, yes, could be.
All right. Roger, I believe you had said that the 3 commissioners would keep an eye on transparency. It would be a more transparent system. We've got a question from Stephanie Fisher. Thank you very much. How does increased transparency improve the economy?
It lets the public know exactly what's being discussed, what's being brought up. If you're following what the government's doing, if you're following what our commissioners are having before them, what's being proposed, then you follow those meetings. You can either look at the press releases or you can be there. There's press there, I believe, Andy, all the time that puts the notes out that lets people know what's happening. If a meeting's happening behind the scenes with an executive until it gets brought to the council, you're not going to be aware of it. So you're staying on top of it if you're that politically motivated that you watch that. Some people are. Some people don't pay any attention until some flags go up.
But is there an impact in dollars and cents, let's say?
I don't know how there'd be any impact in dollars and cents. They're meeting, you know, they're meeting weekly right now. One thing I've heard, if they can't get together often enough or can't get them together at the right times, let's have them meet 3 times a week. Let them meet every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. They've got 3 opportunities. Put economic development on certain days, put other issues on other days, and let them meet 3 times a week if that will speed things up. I don't know why it wouldn't.
Andy, do you have any notes on that? How advantageous a more transparent system may be.
Transparency is one of those terms that gets thrown around an awful lot now, and it means different things to different people. Governments, basically the way they operate, thanks to open records and open door laws, have to do most of their business out in the public eye. There are some concerns, obviously Roger has stated them, that if there is a single executive, that person could be meeting with members of his or her staff, as well as with business leaders, and discussing things. A number of the things they discuss would still have to go before a council if there's an abatement, mm-hmm. for example, or a rezoning of land, those sorts of things. And the transparency gets there eventually, but some people are concerned that it gets there a little late. You know, right. By then it's on the rails, it's on its way down the road. Other people will point out that for some businesses looking to expand, they don't want to discuss everything out in the public, sometimes for trade reasons, sometimes for, you know, they just don't want to be out in the public all that much. And so there is a need from time to time for conversations to be had behind closed doors. The question is, where's the balance so that you and I as voters are able to know what has happened and take our action, which is to, you know, communicate with elected officials that we're happy or upset, or to wait till the next election and give them the ultimate praise or punishment by un- or re-electing them.
Did you have a comment?
Since everyone's taken time out of their evening, would you mind raising your hand if you've reached out to communicate with your county council representative or county commissioner in the last year? So we've got, well, me too. Yeah, I apologize. Well, first off, congratulations on that. Having said that, for those that didn't raise their hands, I would suggest that if they vote, and because they're here, I'm guessing that they do, I would suggest that they vote for people that they feel will represent their interest. And if they don't like what they're doing, they will then have the opportunity to reach out and touch those people that they have elected.
Just a few more questions here. If council is provided to provide that balance to the county commissioner's side, if there was that to be that single executive, how balanced would that really be if it was the council versus one individual opinion?
Well, we haven't brought it up yet, but you know, we've got one mayor in a city, and we've got one governor for a state, and we've got one president for our country. And so if it made so much sense to have this council of three, I believe that we'd see that replicated in our other layers of government. So I believe by having one single county executive, we better mirror how the other entities in government currently exist. And by and large, I would suggest that we're all pretty happy with how those other forms have served us. And if we don't like them, then we vote and vote them out, or at least take our voice to the polls.
And Roger, one question that did just come in as well. There's concern from this listener that commissioners already have too much power. What is your take on that?
I don't see that. I don't know. I mean, they've got no more power than what you're going to have with a single county executive. You know, I don't see that.
I'm gonna try to interpret the question, okay. And whoever asked it can throw whatever they're eating up here to tell me if I'm wrong. But I think part of it is that the county commissioners are both executive and legislative in their duties.
Okay. Yes.
And for a lot of people, that's contradictory. That violates our concept of separation of powers. And when I'm explaining this to people, I often point out that there is a bit of a check and a balance here in that no one person has both executive and legislative powers. That there's a two person, you know, you need two people on three to go that way. But when people hear for the first time county commissioners are both legislative and executive branch of government, they do kind of step back a little bit and say, something's wrong. I don't know what it is, but something's wrong with that. And then there's also the balance of the county council, which is a fiscal body, and they can always say, we're displeased with what you're doing. We're cutting funding to this program or that program. I think that's probably where that question was going.
Okay.
Nothing's hit me yet, so I'm guessing I was right there.
And again, the system has worked well. And like you've said earlier, Andy, this is the predominant system that's worked around the country. You know, it's...
But it is the one that's being changed from.
Some areas is changing. Mm-hmm. But again, the majority is still staying this way. Change is difficult. And I'm not opposed to change. I've told the story several times. When I started farming, I drove a two-cylinder John Deere tractor with a two-bottom plow. Today, I had Rob Winters out there riding in the combine with me, and you know, I push a button, and my header goes down. The same button, when I push it, it steers the combine across the field. I don't even steer the combine. I mean, it steers itself. Used to be, my path along the field was crooked and you know, a little 15-foot header. In fact, the first combine I ever drove was sitting out on a platform where the dust is rolling up on you. So I change, we change as we see a need where it's going to give us a more fit benefit. We're going to increase profitability for it. I drug my feet for a while to change to this auto steer system, to the auto track and all that, until it could make me some money. Now I can get more efficiency with it. The first people that went with it because they could say they were the first. It was the image of the community, whether it's driving a Cadillac, whether it's, you know, driving the Corvette, whether it's driving, you know, whatever, or buying whatever just because the neighbors have it. We don't see the change until we can see it's going to put dollars in our pocket. In this situation, we don't see the dollars in our pocket.
And with that, we're just about out of time. So thank you, folks, so much for your attention and for your great questions. But I would like to give our advocates a chance for some closing remarks. Vince?
Again, I'd like to thank everyone for taking time out of the evening to come and listen to both sides of the discussion. Roger and I have crossed paths on more than one occasion. He's a Farm Bureau guy. I happen to be a member. He doesn't like to hear that. But
well, that doesn't bother me a bit. I'm glad to have him as a member. We're actually friends.
And we are friends. And that being said, I believe, and I'll reference an Andy comment here, that factually there are many communities that are taking advantage of the opportunity to go out and evaluate if there are opportunities being presented for their communities by a different form of county government. I happen to believe that for our future and for the future of our kids, and for better representation of those people that live and reside in our county, for better economic development, for more transparency in government, that the right decision to make is to vote for the passage of this referendum.
And I'll have to say that I believe the opposite of that. I believe that what we're doing today is working. What we're doing today is not broken. We'll have the transparency. I don't think citizens want to lose 70% of their vote. Right now, you vote for 7 of the 10 that run the county government. Under the new system, you'll vote for 2 of the 10. You lose a lot of representation. So I think our voice is going to be very much diluted. And for those reasons there, and then all the unanswered questions. I mean, I truly believe your tax rate will go up, and my tax rate will go up. I can't afford that. And I don't think many citizens want theirs to go up. If there was going to be a lot of improvement that this was going to, you know, bring us, then maybe we're willing to pay more. Some communities are. I don't think Allen County is, and I don't see the merit for it. So from that reason, that's the reason we've opposed it, and we just don't think there's enough proven reason why this will benefit you and I as citizens of Allen County.
And Andy, feel free. Any final words?
Actually, I'm just going to say I've enjoyed the fact that we've had a referendum question. I know there aren't many people out there who have, but it's been fun to discuss an issue as opposed to candidates. And I've been several places with both of them. And what's nice is it's a cordial discussion. This is not something that's devolved into fist fights and, you know, the world's not coming to an end because we're having these conversations. And I think that's a good thing. We need to have more of these conversations. I hope that the state and other elected officials give us the opportunity to have more of them. And I know you're probably going to say something like this, but I will ask the people who are here to give both Roger Hadley and Vince Buchanan a round of applause, please, for coming out and doing this.
And I would like to thank you for all coming, at least listening to the two of us and bearing to look at the two of us, because neither one of us feel like we're material to be on TV. We're more radio type, or I'm more radio type person. I won't speak for Vince.
I'm not sure I'm any type, just to be honest.
Faces for radio and voices for silent movies. That's that's what people say about the three of us.
I like it, Andy.
Oh, the three. Thank you.
Yeah.
That is not what they say about me. Oh, my goodness. Well, with that being said, we did make it through the first hour of Issues and Ales. Thank you so, so much again to our panelists, Roger Hadley, Vince Buchanan, and Andy Downs, and for all of you for your attention and great questions. And do stay with us. We'll be back in just about 10 minutes for our arts discussion. It's going to be a really great time. So grab a drink, and we'll see you in a few minutes. Thank you. Yeah.